Chapter 3. What to do for yourself as you die. Death is not extinguishing the light, it is only putting out the lamp, because dawn has come. Rabindranath Tagore. When the last hour is at hand, you will stand at a crossroad. If you have prepared in advance, you will be ready to move on with great ease and confidence, like an eagle soaring into the sky. Tulku Tondap Rinpoche. If you are prepared, when death arrives, simply relax. Have confidence in your preparation and that your good karma will take care of you. Remember that death is a natural part of life and that you're not the only one dying. Billions of people have died throughout history, vastly more than are currently alive. Life is but a tiny speck floating on an ocean of death. Demographer Karl Haub, using 50,000 BCE as his starting point, calculated that including the 7 billion people now alive, around 108 billion people have walked on this planet. That means over 100 billion people have already died. Accounts vary, but between 156,000 and 250,000 people die each day. This doesn't include the untold numbers of animals, insects, and unseen forms of life. About 383,000 people are born each day, 140 million per year. In addition to these numbers, there are countless beings transmigrating through the 27 states of samsaric existence. As we approach death, we are about to experience what countless beings have already experienced. Not only that, we have already experienced death countless times. Remind yourself, I am not the only one traveling this road. All beings of the past have died, all those alive will die, and all who come in the future will die. No one escapes death. The play of birth and death is taking place at a scale we can't even imagine. Now it's our turn to enter this play once again. There are three levels of practitioner for the bardos. Each one is based on proper vision and perspective. Those of the highest level look forward to death, because they realize it is the greatest opportunity for awakening. They know they're heading for enlightenment. Those of the middling level have no fear because they understand the process. Those of the lowest level have no regrets because they've lived a good life and done their best to prepare. If we elevate and improve our vision, we can enter any of these levels and die with ease. Open your mind. Accept death as nature's way of recycling spirit into infinite new forms. Letting go. The painful bardo of dying is painful because it hurts to let go. But now is the time when we have to. Letting go is just a euphemism for death, and releasing our grip is what transforms the painful bardo of dying into simply the bardo of dying. To be like an eagle soaring into the sky, we have to cut the fetters of everything that holds us down. Sogyal Rinpoche says, "Slowly it dawns on us that all the heartache we have been through from grasping at the ungraspable was, in the deepest sense, unnecessary. At the beginning, this too may be painful to accept because it seems so unfamiliar. But as we reflect, slowly our hearts and minds go through a gradual transformation. Letting go begins to feel more natural and becomes easier and easier. It may take a long time for the extent of our foolishness to sink in, but the more we reflect, the more we develop the view of letting go. It is then that a complete shift takes place in our way of looking at everything. In many ways, the entire spiritual path is about letting go. It's death in slow motion. So if we travel our path genuinely, death is but a graceful exit from a path well traveled. We can choose to let go now and die before we die, easing our transition. Or we can wait and be forced to let go during death, which often results in a bumpy ride. As Rinpoche says, letting go is initially unfamiliar to us, which is why it hurts. But meditation is about becoming familiar with letting go and therefore eases all the transitions in life and death. The 16th Karmapa, an enlightened being, said that nothing happens at death. This was a cryptic statement, left open for interpretation. One view would be that for someone who has completely let go during life, nothing happens at death because there's nothing left to release. Bardos only exist in samsara, which is defined by grasping and attachment. For someone like Karmapa, there is no bardo. Even though you may have practiced well, don't turn your death into a performance, and don't compare. Feeling that your death has to measure up to someone else's is the surest way to have a rugged death. While you might sustain the inspiration of the Karmapa, don't expect to die like him. Die like yourself. Be genuine, simple, and ordinary, like death itself. If we don't interfere, dying is easy. It's the one thing in life we don't have to do. And no matter how much we have studied the bardos, the experience is always fresh. Our experience is far richer than the best map, so don't let it cramp your journey, and don't expect to die in a prescribed way. Sogyal Rinpoche says, expectation is premeditated disappointment. Remember that we are composed of three bodies, the gross physical body, the subtle body, and the very subtle body. The gross body of flesh and blood is what dies during the outer dissolution. The subtle body, which is made up of the channels, nadi, winds, prana, drops, bindu, and chakras, is what dissolves in the inner dissolution. And the very subtle body, which is composed of very subtle prana and mind, is what's revealed at the end of the inner dissolution, which is the point of death. This very subtle body does not die. The very subtle body sheds the two outer bodies and continues merrily along its way to infinity. In the next life, which begins in the cosmic dressing room of the bardo of becoming, this very subtle body will temporarily cover itself yet again with a new subtle and gross body, only to strip it all off when the next life ends. Lama Yeshe says, understanding the subtle body and the very subtle body helps us to recognize that we have other bodies within us in addition to our physical body. So we don't have to worry too much when our gross body is degenerating or being uncooperative. Even during life, if we only relate to our gross body, we're going to get into trouble. This body is the basis of our egoic urges. If our focus stays on this superficial level, we will lead a superficial life. This outer body, with its externally oriented senses, is always directed out and away from who we truly are. It points us in the wrong direction. The inner yogas, which work with the subtle body, allow us to become familiar with our two inner bodies and therefore with our immortality. They point us in the right direction. We avoid the core of our body like we avoid the core of reality. The inner yogas direct us to reality. They access and exercise our two inner bodies, weakening our exclusive identification with outer form and strengthening our identification with the formless. They allow us to touch our deathless nature. This is the guiding view, and all we have to do to die well. We can strengthen this view by understanding the eight phases of the outer and inner dissolutions and their accompanying signs. These signs arise as physical and mental functions cease, signaling the advancement of death. It's like learning about Notre Dame before visiting it. Having studied, we can better appreciate the nuances of the experience. Dissolution and signs. The eight stages of the bardo of dying and the complexities of the bardo of dharmata are described in many books. I will highlight the salient features of these stages in terms of what the dying person and their caretakers should know. With this concentrated overview, we are plunging into the depths of the bardos. The teachings are as brilliant and subtle as the experiences themselves. Many of us will not recognize the bardos when we enter them, and in the same way, a first exposure at the doctrinal level can be bewildering. What on earth are they talking about? It's not like anything on earth, so we need to be patient as we explore a brand new world, the inner world of our own mind. The Dalai Lama says, in the mind that is untrained in meditative practice, this sequence of the mind becoming more subtle will frequently not be evident. There are eight stages in this process of going into sleep and dying. For a mind that is very finely disciplined in meditation, each of those stages will become evident experientially. When I started teaching on the bardos, I noticed a curious thing. People would sit patiently as I described the material we have presented so far in this book. But when I got deeper into the bardo of dying, and then into the bardo of dharmata, people started to squirm. The minute the class was over, many of them darted toward the exit. I felt a sense of, get me out of here. It struck me that this was a metaphor. After death, the intensity of the bardo of dharmata will spur us toward the exit of the bardo of becoming. Get me out of here is the impetus that will propel us into our next life. People tend to skip over this material the same way they'll skip over these bardos when they experience them. But taking the time to become familiar with these bardos now allows us to recognize them later, increasing our chances for enlightenment. Recognition and liberation are simultaneous, but you won't recognize something you've never met. Work with these baffling teachings now so you won't be baffled later. The teachings are unequivocal. Relate to it now or be forced to relate to it when you die. The painful bardo of dying begins with the outer dissolution, which is the five stages of the death of the body. This is followed by the inner dissolution, which is the three stages of the death of consciousness. Each stage is accompanied with signs that can help the dying person and those around them. The signs help us recognize where we are and where we are going. When someone stops eating, for example, that can be a sign that the fire element is dissolving and death is imminent. The fire element is involved in digestion, the burning up of food. If a seriously ill loved one stops eating, it's time to go see them if we want to be there before they die. Not everyone will experience all eight stages clearly or in the following order. Thinking that death will unfold in such a systematic and predictable fashion can hinder our experience instead of enhancing it. These stages are orienting generalizations, not immutable and definitive steps. But I have found them remarkably helpful in understanding what's happening to the dying person. I often ask hospice doctors and nurses how much time they think a person has, and compare that to my own intuition based on the five outer stages. The guidance provided by the five stages is usually more accurate than professional predictions. When my father stopped eating and drinking, I could see the dissolution of the fire and water elements. When he entered a period of labored breathing, followed by a rapid decrease in respiration, I knew he was losing the wind element and death was near. Because of these signs, I was able to be there when he took his last breath. The outer signs are visible to caretakers. They relate to experiences of the body. Inner signs are visible to the dying person, and sometimes to caretakers. They relate to experiences of the mind, or cognitive function. Secret signs are only visible to practitioners. They are meditation signs and correlate to the experiences of luminosity, as explained shortly. The outer and inner signs convey the loss of connection between body and mind as well as our severance from the outside world. They signal the end of who we think we are. The secret signs indicate our approach to our ultimate nature, luminosity. They signal our proximity to who we really are. The five stages of the outer dissolution are the elements of the body melting from gross into subtle. Earth into water, into fire, into wind, into consciousness. In Sanskrit, it's considered impolite to say someone has died. It's more considerate to say panchatvam gata. They have returned to fiveness, to the five elements. The three stages of the inner dissolution involve consciousness melting into space. This is an outer space, but the infinite space of the awakened mind, dharmakaya, luminosity. That's revealed at the end of the inner dissolution. The outer signs of the bardo of dying begin as we age. If we're sensitive to it, aging prepares us for death. Growing old and falling apart is nature's way of teaching us how to release our obsession with form. It's humiliating. Old age, sickness, and death are the ultimate insults to your ego, but the best compliments to your spirit. Even before we enter the actual stages of dying, our body and even our mind starts to let go as we age. We lose our hair, our teeth, our vision, hearing, mobility, flexibility, endurance, memory, and countless other physical and mental aspects of our form. We lose control, productivity, independence, security, dreams for the future, and even meaning. Aging is a preliminary practice, angandro, for the letting go that is forced upon us at death. The spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle writes, "The return movement in a person's life, the weakening or dissolution of form, whether through old age, illness, disability, loss, or some kind of personal tragedy, carries great potential for spiritual awakening, the disidentification of consciousness from form. Since death is only an abstract concept to them, most people are totally unprepared for the dissolution of form that awaits them. When it approaches, there is shock, incomprehension, despair, and great fear. But what is lost on the level of form is gained on the level of essence. If related to properly, old age or approaching death becomes what it is meant to be, an opening into the realm of spirit. Each stage of the outer dissolution is associated with the disintegration of one of the skandhas. By learning about the skandhas, we can understand what to expect as they dissolve. Each of the five skandhas correspond to one of the five wisdoms, so we can also learn about what lies ahead by studying the five wisdoms. Each of the eight stages of the outer and inner dissolution is associated with the eight consciousnesses of the Yogacara tradition. Many teachers say this correspondence is exact. The outer dissolution corresponds to the dissolution of the first five consciousnesses, and the inner dissolution corresponds to the evaporation of the sixth, seventh, and eighth consciousnesses. Other teachers say it's not this crisp. Finally, each dissolution is associated with a dissipation of a chakra and inner wind. Once again, learning about the functions of these consciousnesses, chakras, and winds can help us understand the sequence of experiences. Anyen Rinpoche says, "When we talk about the dissolution of the elements during the dying process, we are talking about the dissolution of each element's impure aspect, which leaves its pure wisdom aspect behind. Thus, when an element dissolves, we have an enhanced capacity to abide in or experience the nature of mind. This is due to the increased pure energy or wisdom wind in the central channel as each element is purified." In other words, as the impure aspect of each element dissolves, the pure wisdom aspect enters the central channel. This affords a heightened opportunity to realize the nature of mind. While it's helpful to understand each of these doctrines, we will limit our focus to the outer, inner, and secret signs associated with each of the eight stages. This keeps it more practical. We're trying to install that Bardo GPS to help us understand what's happening. Outer dissolution. The pattern of the outer dissolution is as follows. 1. Earth element dissolves into water. Outer signs. The body loses strength. One feels drained of energy. The complexion fades and pallor sets in. The cheeks sink. Stains appear on the teeth. It's harder to open the eyes. The person may seem physically smaller. He or she can't get up or hold anything, can't support the head, and has difficulty moving. The dissolving element often spikes or is exaggerated before it fades. When the earth element spikes, one feels depressed, overwhelmed with heaviness, or a sense of crushing weight on the chest. Aging, especially old age, suggests the beginning of this dissolution. The sense of sight degenerates at this first stage. Inner signs. The mind feels heavy and listless. Perception dims. Things become unclear, as if there's not enough light in the room. As a sign of the skandha of form dissolving, the mind is agitated and delirious, then sinks into drowsiness. Things are unclear and dull, and everything becomes unstable. We lose our sense of ground and feel as if our world is being swept away. As a sign of mirror-like wisdom dissolving, our partial experience of this wisdom, we no longer hold things clearly in mind and lose visual and mental clarity. Some lamas say everything becomes yellowish, the color of earth. Secret signs. A shimmering mirage appears, which is the image of earth melting into water. 2. Water dissolves into fire. Outer signs. We lose control of bodily fluids. Our nose runs. We dribble and drool. We become incontinent. There's a discharge from the eyes. We can't move our tongue. The lips are drawn and bloodless. Nostrils cave in. We tremble and twitch. As water spikes before it dissolves, we first feel saturated with water, as if carried away by a flood. Then our mouth, tongue, and nose dry out. We feel thirsty. Blood and lymph circulation slows. The sense of sound degenerates. Inner signs. Mind is more unclear, vague, and foggy. We become emotionally touchy or easily provoked. Signs of the skandha of feeling dissolving. The mind is hazy, frustrated, confused, and fearful. Sensations are dulled. Sign of wisdom of equanimity dissolving. We lose our sense of emotional balance, become nervous, irritable. Some say everything becomes whitish, the color of water. Secret signs. We see smoke swirling around us, or we feel we're in a smoke-filled room, which is an image of water being poured onto fire. Everything is cloudy and steamy. 3. Fire dissolves into wind. Outer signs. We get hot, feverish, then cold. Our mouth and nose dry up. Our breath is cooler. We can no longer drink or digest anything. We stop eating. The environment is burning, then our limbs grow cold. Our sense of smell degenerates. Some say that if heat dissipates from the lower parts of the body first, that can signal impending rebirth into a higher realm. If the heat dissipates from the upper parts first, that can signal rebirth into a lower realm. Inner signs. Mind alternates between clear and unclear. Sign of the skandha of perception dissolving. We lose our ability to identify and define information received from the senses. We can't recognize family and friends, can't remember names. Sign of discriminating wisdom dissolving. It's hard to distinguish people and things around us. Everything is reddish. Secret signs. The smoky appearance of the last stage gets sharper. Then sparks or fireflies appear, which are images of wind blowing into fire. 4. Wind dissolves into consciousness. Outer signs. Breathing is harder. Inhalation is short and rough. Exhalation is long and sighing. Rasping and panting occurs. The death rattle. Eyes roll up. Sense of taste degenerates. Inner signs. The sensation is one of floating or of being blown about by strong wind. The experience is of being extremely confused, bewildered, and unseated. Kalu Rinpoche writes, "The internal experience of the dying person is of a great wind sweeping away the whole world, an incredible maelstrom of wind consuming the entire universe. One is unaware of the outside world. A variety of hallucinations can occur, which are just thoughts becoming more vivid and intense. If we led a good life, we tend to see good visions at this point. We may see angels, deities, or teachers. If we led a bad life, we might see bad visions. Sign of the skandha of formations dissolving. We lose all motivation and sense of purpose. Sign of all accomplishing wisdom dissolving. We're no longer able to perform actions. Some say everything is greenish. Secret signs. A butter lamp or torch appears. The point is to attend to and rest in these secret signs. 5. Consciousness dissolves into space. While the first 4 dissolutions occur at the level of the gross body, the 5th dissolution occurs at the level of the subtle body. This stage is the most ambiguous, almost like a mini bardo between the outer and inner stages. Outer signs, the body becomes motionless, we're gasping for breath, and respiration ceases with one final exhalation. The sense of touch degenerates. Inner signs, continuity of signs from the last dissolution, and the skandha of gross consciousness dissolves. The complete dissolution of consciousness occurs in the inner dissolution. Secret signs, the appearance of a butter lamp or torch continues from stage 4. See Table 2 for a summary of the outer dissolution. What is happening? At the end of the outer dissolution, the gross body is dead and the outer respiration ceases. During the inner dissolution, the subtle body will die and the inner respiration ceases. In terms of the outer dissolution, there is another pattern that can further orient this process. Our senses and our experiences are becoming increasingly non-dual. The senses dissolve from the top down, First the eyes, then the ears, nose, tongue, and finally touch. We're descending into the heart of the body, and then into the heart of the mind. We're going from the most dualistic to the least dualistic. In other words, the eyes perceive the farthest, they are the most dualistic sense. Sound is less dualistic, we can't hear as far as we can see. Smell, even less. Taste and touch, even less. Touch is not quite non-dual since we're still touching an other, but it's the most non-dualistic sense. Perhaps this is why we crave to be touched so much. When we die, we're heading into non-duality or luminosity. This enlightenment fully occurs at the end of the inner dissolution, when consciousness, duality, dissolves into wisdom, non-duality. That this occurs in the heart center, which is the center of our body, mirrors the centering that also takes place in our mind. We are returning to the center of the mandala. With this eightfold dissolution, we're being forced to relate to our mind, simply because there's nothing else to relate to. Everything else is gone. The outer world and all sensory distractions are gone. The only thing left is our internal experience. In other words, we are being forced to meditate. Meditation is about establishing a proper relationship to mind, and death forces this relationship by the process of progressive exclusion. External sight is excluded, then sound, then smell, then taste, and finally touch. This is why meditation is a complete preparation for death. Lama Yeshe says, "Meditation cuts the gross, busy mind and allows the subtle consciousness to function. In that way, it performs a similar function to that of death." This is also why deep meditation can get frightening, because our normal sense of self is dying. Lama Yeshe continues, "Some people experience loss of identity in meditation and get scared. That's good. You should be scared. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid of losing something? What you're losing is your self-existence or concrete preconception of yourself. That's what's shaken. It's your projection of yourself that shakes, not your non-duality. Your own true nature isn't shaken. When we're dying, everything internal and external deteriorates and disappears, so we get very scared because we're losing our normal security. With the proper view, we realize that what we're losing on the relative level is offset by what we're gaining on the absolute level. As our false sense of self evaporates, it is replaced by our authentic and immortal sense of self. The end of the outer dissolution is the time to do powa, just before we stop breathing. However, some masters say we can start powa at any stage of the outer dissolution. This is another reason why it's helpful to become familiar with these stages and their signs. Inner dissolution. As we progress deeper into the bardo of dying, we are advancing toward more profound and subtle aspects of mind. The teachings and the experiences are therefore more challenging for the confused and dualistic mind. The inner dissolution of the bardo of dying, and then the bardo of dharmata, are the most difficult topics of our journey simply because they are the most non-dualistic. Most of us are very familiar with confusion because we practice it all the time. Few of us are familiar with wisdom, hence the challenge. By the end of the outer dissolution, the body is dead. Now consciousness will die in three stages as it evaporates into space during the inner dissolution. There's a difference between consciousness and wisdom. Consciousness has a negative connotation in that it's always dualistic. We're always conscious of something out there. Consciousness is associated with duality and samsara. Wisdom, on the other hand, is non-dualistic. It is associated with nirvana. During the inner dissolution, consciousness dissolves into wisdom, duality melts back into non-duality. Our subtle form dissolves into formless space. We are coming home to the natural state. The outer and inner dissolutions are fundamentally eight stages of relaxation. Ego is relaxing back into the Dharmakaya. Another way to view this is as eight stages of letting go, or loss. If related to properly, this loss is actually gain. We gain liberation. When everything is fully released, freedom is finally attained. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose, as Janis Joplin put it. During the inner dissolution, there are no longer any outer signs. This is why, from a clinical perspective, you are dead at the end of the outer dissolution. But there are inner and secret signs. The inner dissolution takes about 20 minutes, or the time it takes to eat a meal. Because there are no external distractions, our inner world is dramatically heightened. In other words, with the disappearance of the outer world, mind becomes reality, just like in a dream. The experiences that now arise are the result of the dissolution of the subtle body. As discussed earlier, this body is made up of channels, nadis, the winds, prana, that move through them, and the mind pearls, bindus, that ride the winds. During the inner dissolution, all the winds that kept the body alive will merge into the central channel. Then the bindus that reside at the top and bottom of the central channel, that trap the life force wind and keep us alive, will collapse into the heart center. When the white bindu that drops from the top of the central channel meets the red bindu that ascends from the bottom, that is final death. It's not only the body that breathes. The inner respiration is the breath of the mind. This breath is the subtle movement of the winds of the mind that move it out toward its objects. If that wind is coarse, it moves the mind roughly toward its objects, and we experience this as aggression, which ends at stage 6, mentioned later. If that wind is less forceful, it moves the mind more gently toward its objects, and we experience this as passion, which ends at stage 7. And if the wind is very subtle, it moves the mind ever so slightly toward its objects, and we experience this as ignorance, which ends at stage 8. Most of us don't experience this very subtle movement of mind, let alone experience it as ignorance. This is one reason why it is ignorance. We're not aware that we're not aware. This very subtle wind is the fundamental breath of duality that blows life into confusion, or confusion into life. It's the primordial puff of ignorance that inflates into passion and aggression. Like a hot air balloon, this subtle wind lifts us out of the nature of mind, nirvana, and into samsara. During life, the breath of the mind is connected to the breath of the body. When you're angry, notice how your breath is rough. When you're passionate, notice how you pant. And when you rest your mind without thought, notice how breathing virtually stops. Most of us don't experience these subtle movements of the mind as winds. We simply experience the thoughts and emotions that ride on these winds. We're unaware of the subtle basis of thought, and therefore of samsara. This isn't the conventional ignorance of not knowing about a topic. This is the primordial ignorance, marikpa, no awareness. That is the ground of samsara. Ignorance here means taking things to be real. From this imperceptible breeze of the mind arise the swells of passion and the tornadoes of aggression. Once we take something to be real, we then suck it in or blow it away. This very subtle wind of ignorance blows across the surface of the mind, which can be likened to a mirror-like surface of water, and creates waves that then forget they are made out of water. In other words, this is the birth of duality. At first, this primordial puff creates a mere ripple, a subtle sense of self and other. But if this puff isn't recognized and released, it picks up strength and the waves get bigger, more real, more other. Instead of settling back down into the ocean from which it arose, the ripple starts to roar. When the winds collapse during the inner dissolution, so do the waves. Big waves, aggression, settle into medium waves, passion, which settle into the ripple, ignorance. When the subtle wind ceases at the end of the inner dissolution, the ripple, duality, consciousness, alaya vijnana, marigpa, relaxes back into the mirror-like ocean, non-duality, wisdom, alaya jnana, rigpa dharmakaya, and the last vestige of samsara settles back into nirvana. At the end of the outer dissolution, the body fully exhales. At the end of the inner dissolution, consciousness exhales. With a primordial sigh of relief and release, we return to our enlightened state, dissolving back into the ocean of enlightened mind from which we arose. The three stages of the inner dissolution are as follows. 6. White appearance. White is the expression of the perfectly pure radiance of consciousness, and appearance is the radiance that naturally appears. The prana below the white bindu at the top of the head in the central channel collapses, and therefore the white bindu descends to the heart. Inner sign, like a pure sky filled with moonlight, everything appears white. Secret signs, 33 thought states resulting from anger cease. Anger dissolves into the experience of clarity. 7. Red increase. The prana above the red bindu at the bottom of the central channel collapses, and the red bindu ascends into the heart. Inner sign, like a sun shining in a pure sky, everything appears red. Secret sign, 40 thought states resulting from passion cease. Passion dissolves into the experience of bliss. 8. Black attainment. The white and red bindus meet at the heart, cupping the indestructible bindu residing at the heart. Consciousness is squeezed out and wisdom is revealed. Inner sign, like an empty sky shrouded in darkness, we black out into unconsciousness. The experiences of being overwhelmed with blackness or falling into dense darkness. Secret sign, 7 thought states resulting from ignorance cease. Ignorance dissolves into the experience of non-thought. The whiteness, redness, and blackness that's experienced is the luminosity of the mind glimpsed through filters tinged by the colors of the 3 root poisons, which are now being uprooted. At the end of this inner dissolution, all the winds that have moved us through life have been exhausted. We have literally run out of breath. We have reached the end of the bardo of dying. Depending on how familiar we are with the nature of mind, the dharmakaya that awaits us at this point, we either light up and attain nirvana or black out and slip back into samsara. This is the point of death. It's a concentrated moment, a space from which everything arises and to which everything returns. It is simultaneously nothing, emptiness, and everything, luminosity. It is both the black hole and the big bang of manifest reality, the cradle and the grave of the cosmos. Because everything is packed into this point, the teachings here are also dense. And because it's so brilliant, unless we're prepared for this light of the mind, it is blinding. Instead of waking up, the intensity of the light stuns us back into sleep. Once again, death is the dharmakaya. As the Persian poet Rumi puts it, death is our wedding with eternity. The following sections are for those who can recognize it to some degree, and who will therefore experience the 2 phases of the luminous bardo of Dharmata. They describe the yogi's honeymoon. Tukdam. Because of our lack of familiarity with these subtle aspects of mind, the Dharmakaya and Sambhogakaya, most people go unconscious at the end of the inner dissolution. They miss the bardo of Dharmata and regain consciousness in the bardo of becoming. We will return to these last 2 bardos later. A practitioner with some familiarity with Dharmakaya, however, enters meditative absorption. This is called tukdam, an honorific term for meditative practice, and it indicates some level of enlightenment. Tukdam signals the union of the mother and child luminosities that we discussed earlier. If we recognize our primordial mother, we will dissolve into her embrace and attain enlightenment. If we don't have recognition, or the recognition is partial, we will unwittingly leap out of her lap and begin the paradoxical search for her outside. This constitutes the leap from the bardo of Dharmata into the bardo of becoming, and our next life. This metaphor becomes a literal description of our entry into samsara as we physically leap out of our mother's lap during birth. That we return to this primordial mother at death and leave her at birth is expressed by the poet Rabindranath Tagore. I am death, your mother. From me you will get new birth. As caretakers, it's important to be aware of the signs of tukdam. If they manifest, we need to know what to do. The mind of someone in tukdam is resting in meditation at the heart. The mind is still in the body, and this presence is noticeable. The person doesn't look dead, but appears to be asleep. There's warmth around the heart, the body doesn't start to smell, and rigor mortis doesn't set in. If you pinch the skin, it returns to normal, If you pinch the skin of someone whose life force has left the body, it tends to stay where you pinch it and not move back. To avoid disrupting the samadhi of someone in Tukdham, to avoid disrupting their best chance for attaining enlightenment, the classical instruction is not to disturb the body for at least 3 days. Depending on the instructions left by that person, we need to be sensitive to these signs of Tukdham. It happens more than we think. We will return to this topic when we discuss organ donation and whether or not that disrupts Tukdham. The amount of time someone spends in Tukdham, and therefore in the Bardo of Dharmata, is measured in meditation days. The Bardo of Becoming and the 49 days taught in the Tibetan Book of the Dead are normal solar days. A meditation day is 5 times the length of time you can rest your mind now without distraction. If you can rest for 5 minutes, a meditation day lasts 25 minutes. At a certain point, intentionally or through the reactivation of the winds of karma, consciousness leaves the body out of 1 of 9 portals. The red bindu continues its ascent and can sometimes be seen as blood coming out of the nose or mouth. The white bindu continues its descent and can sometimes be seen as a white discharge from the urethra. This separation of the red and white bindus releases the indestructible bindu at the heart, where consciousness is held. The winds of karma reignite, and we are blown off into the bardo of becoming. Stiffening of the body, odor, coolness around the heart, inflexibility of the skin, and the fact that the person just looks dead are other signs that death is complete, and that consciousness has left the body. The Peaceful and Wrathful Visions. The bardo of Dharmata can be placed in the section of what to do during death, or what to do after death. It is the point of death and fits into either category. See Figure 3. The Tibetan Book of the Dead is the seminal instruction text for what to do during this bardo. The instructions are thorough and will be summarized in Chapter 5. 2 central instructions, as mentioned earlier, condense the main points. Rest your mind on whatever arises, shamatha, and recognize whatever arises to be the radiance of your own mind, vipassana. Sogyal Rinpoche says, "The Dzogchen Tantras, the ancient teachings from which the bardo instructions come, speak of a mythical bird, the Garuda, which is born fully grown. This image symbolizes our primordial nature, which is already completely perfect. The Garuda chick has all its wing feathers fully developed inside the egg, but it cannot fly before it hatches. Only at the moment when the shell cracks open can it burst out and soar up into the sky. Similarly, the masters tell us the qualities of Buddhahood are veiled by the body, and as soon as the body is discarded, they will be radiantly displayed." The bardo of Dharmata is where the 100 peaceful and wrathful deities arise. They are part of this radiant display, so don't be afraid of them. The visions are your wisdom mind manifesting in its most primordial expression. The deities are the purified aspects of your mind, the first forms of the Sambhogakaya. If you can recognize them as such, you will be liberated. So train in that recognition now. As mentioned earlier, people often wonder who will perceive these deities. Only practitioners who are familiar with the Tibetan pantheon of deities will recognize them as described in the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Those with no familiarity may only see glimmerings of light. This, again, is not physical light, but the light of the mind. The appearances are unique to your own state of mind. Any manifestation of form or color is not important. What's important is to recognize those expressions as the play of your mind and to allow them to self-liberate in that recognition. It's more important to understand how these appearances arise and the opportunities they present for liberation than to get hung up on the forms they take. The Dalai Lama says, "The whole presentation of deities within mandalas comes from India, and it thus draws upon Indian culture. It's very likely that a person from another culture would have different experiences. If you want to say what the actual nature of the Sambhogakaya is, you have to say it is a form endowed with the greatest possible adornments, beauty, and perfections. As soon as that statement is made within a specific culture, then of course people look around them and try to imagine what this perfect body might look like. And they might think of the adornments of a king and so forth. His Holiness continues and connects the deities to the Sambhogakaya, which is the main point. Moreover, the Sambhogakaya is a Rupakaya, a form body, and the very purpose of the Buddha manifesting a form body is for the sake of others. This being the case, the appearance assumed would be something appropriate for others, since it's intended for their service. It's not the case that there is some kind of intrinsic autonomous form of this Sambhogakaya, totally independent from those whom the Sambhogakaya is designed to help. The very detailed descriptions of the visions of wrathful and peaceful deities that the person in the intermediate state experiences are very specific descriptions for practitioners following a particular Nyingma practice. Therefore, it is not the case that all Tibetans even will necessarily experience the same pattern of visions in the intermediate state. The Hourglass. A diagram in the shape of an hourglass summarizes our journey through the bardos. See Figure 3. The top half represents the bardo of dying, the center point represents death and the bardo of dharmata, and the bottom half represents the bardo of becoming. The two lines that funnel into the point and then spread out beneath it represent the decrease and increase of duality, respectively. Above the point is the 8-stage dissolution, going from the most dualistic at the top into non-duality at the point. Below the point, the 8 stages manifest in an inverse fashion, going from non-duality at the point to complete duality at the bottom. In other words, out of the Dharmakaya emptiness of the point arises the stage of black attainment and the 7 basic instincts of ignorance. From that arises red increase and the 40 thought states of passion. From that arises white appearance and the 33 thought states of aggression. And from that arises the remaining 5 stages of the outer dissolution, now appearing in reverse, from subtle to gross. In other words, the subtle form of the elements arise in reverse order. From space arises the energy of wind, from that, fire, from that, water, and from that, earth. But instead of manifesting a physical body composed of the 5 gross elements, which doesn't happen until conception and the beginning of the next life, a mental body is generated. This is what travels through the bardo of becoming. In terms of the 8 consciousnesses, it's stages 1 to 8 going into the point and stages 8 to 1 coming out, in mirror image. The 2 lines, which also represent self and other, are widest apart, most dualistic, when we start to die at the rim of the bardo of dying. They come together at the point, the final moment of death, when self and other merge into non-dual bliss. As we descend into the point, we're also running out of time and space, since these are both dualistic constructs. Everything material is falling apart, but everything spiritual is coming together. Duality disintegrates, while non-duality integrates. Death is bad news for matter, but great news for spirit. If you're spiritually minded, you really do have something to look forward to. If we extend the 2 lines past the rim of the bardo of dying, the space they enclose represents the bardo of this life. This shows us that whether we acknowledge it or not, we're always running out of time. As you listen to these words, the grains of time are slipping through this cosmic hourglass. The 2 lines also represent the extended arms of Yama, the Lord of Death, who holds the wheel of life. You will find this wheel of life at the entrance to most monasteries, placed there to remind us that life is always held by death. Because we're alive, Yama's grip is temporarily relaxed. We don't feel his squeeze. But as we age, get sick, and die, his vice grip increases into a suffocating crush. Yama's muscular arms contract into the point of death, squeezing any remaining life out of us. This image also helps us understand that what we experience with our mind during death is exactly what we have put into it during life. The mind is like a sponge. It absorbs the contents of its environment. As we die, the contents of this sponge are squeezed out and become our entire experience. This is why we want to soak our minds with bodhicitta and create as much merit as possible. Our karma, once again, will take care of us, as it is expressed out of us. This same process occurs in life. If you want to know the real character of someone, their inner contents, see what comes out of them when they're in a squeeze. To mix metaphors and introduce some gallows humor, the upper aspect of the hourglass is more graphically depicted as a chipper, one of those roadside machines that grinds up branches into sawdust. The bardo of dying is a chipper for anything material. Anything constituted of form cannot pass through the infinitely narrow confines that is the bardo of dharmata, the non-dual point of reality. Just like a black hole, not even space or time can fit through this singularity. This is why the bardo of dharmata is beyond space and time. Nothing in this manifest world goes through to the other side. In the upper reaches of the chipper, the gross outer body is ground up, outer dissolution. In the inner reaches, the subtle body turns into dust, inner dissolution. Any form, physical, body, or mental, consciousness, is chewed up and left behind. It's only the extremely subtle and indestructible body, where body at this level is made of prana, that fits through the non-dual point. This indestructible body is formless awareness, your innermost nature. Because it is formless, it can go through. It doesn't die. Fremantle writes, "The indestructible bindu, body, is eternal and unchanging. It continues from life to life without beginning and without end. It is the basic nature of mind and the essence of life, a continuity of luminous awareness. It is bodhicitta, the awakened heart-mind, and it is tathagatagarbha, the intrinsic Buddha nature, which we all possess, but of which we are unaware. This is the realization of dharmakaya, the ultimate source of life and of all appearances. From that state, one can then take on a body of form, arising with the body of a deity in the sambhogakaya, or with a physical body in the nirmanakaya." In other words, naked awareness, dharmakaya, is clothed with fresh underwear, sambhogakaya, and fashionable outerwear, nirmanakaya, as it takes birth into a new form. It may seem fresh and fashionable, but it's simply a new form of old habits. It's the same old story of birth, old age, sickness, and death. Our dharmakaya, the child luminosity, fits through the point because it is the point, like water poured into water. Luminous emptiness, our empty yet pregnant essence, is the only thing that slips through to the other side. We will discuss the bottom half of the hourglass later, when time, space, and all of manifest reality returns in the bardo of becoming. Conclusion. Here are the main verses and summary instruction for the bardo of dying and the bardo of dharmata, taken from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. "Now when the bardo of the moment before death dawns upon me, I will abandon all grasping, yearning, and attachment. Enter undistracted into clear awareness of the teaching, and eject my consciousness into the space of unborn mind. As I leave this compound body of flesh and blood, I will know it to be a transitory illusion. Now when the bardo of dharmata dawns upon me, I will abandon all thoughts of fear and terror. I will recognize whatever appears as my projection, and know it to be a vision of the bardo. Now that I have reached this critical point, I will not fear the peaceful and wrathful ones, my own projections." Final pith instruction for what to do during death. Release everything that will hold you back. Look forward, let go, and relax.